Our next speaker, Ms. Bethrow West, will be talking about programs in North Carolina. Ms. West began her public health career 26 years ago, giving immunizations in a local public health department. For the past 15 years, she has worked at the North Carolina Immunization Branch, first as the Hepatitis B Coordinator, then Field Services Manager, and for the past 11 years as Program Manager. So she's well qualified to give us an update on what they're doing.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and have the opportunity to share with you what we have done in North Carolina. I'm going to be skipping over many slides in the interest of time, but when they're posted on the web in 2 or 3 weeks, then you'll have an opportunity to look at them for more interest that you have. So you heard about the money that was available for us, and you'll see why we decided to go with the combination hepatitis A, B vaccination for our project. And we wanted to see how we could do that in some non-traditional sites as well. Just a bit of an overview. I'm going to give you a little bit of history in North Carolina, talk about what we're doing now, what the efforts have had, the impact on the morbidity and mortality, and what we're going to do in the future. I have to acknowledge our wonderful PHA, Rick Carney, who led the efforts on this project, and Wendy Holmes, who was a regional nurse consultant at the time and a manager now, worked very hard on this program as well. Because, as Dr. Ward said, there wasn't infrastructure money, so we had to spread ourselves a little more thinly to do this. And if you're as old as I am and been around as long as I am, you remember that hepatitis B vaccine, as expensive, was only available to high-risk folks in the early days. And you actually had to report that. Every dose that was given was reported to the state health department on a sheet of paper. And can you imagine how that would be today? It's wonderful we're given so many doses that doesn't have to happen. We were involved in a demonstration project for hepatitis B in schools that was funded by CDC in California as well, and it was a huge success. And in 95, we expanded that statewide. We had 100% participation from the health departments and 77% completion rates for those sixth graders, and we have really been excited about that program. This just tracks the history of ACIP recommendations. I'll skip that. The timing of the funds was really good. We were looking at data in 2002 and noticed a significant increase among hepatitis A rates in males. And we were really concerned. And you can tell from this graph that in 1997 through 2001, it was pretty stable, but suddenly in 2002, there's a significant increase in the number of males, the males being the darker bars. The female incident rates were pretty stable. And this slide, though it is busy, I'll just point out that 79% of those that were reported during that time were males. And you can look at that in more detail later if you'd like. So anytime you start a new project, I mean, the first thing you start to think about is all the barriers that you're going to have to face to get this done. And of course, funding was one of them. And the infrastructure to do that. We all have competing priorities, and most of us are funded very well for childhood immunizations, but we're always struggling to identify how we can do more among adults. And when you look at expanding a project like this in a non-traditional settings, then you have a whole different set of barriers around storage and handling and reporting, tracking and follow-up, and really just selling it. I mean, there's not a big will among some of these centers to vaccinate. They don't really have the capacity to do that. We were not able to offer them any funding to help them along, but we trudged on so that we could look at how we could do in those non-traditional settings, and I pretty much covered this. Okay, so in 2002, we looked at four counties where there were the highest incidence of hepatitis A and B. And we increased our efforts there, gave a combination vaccine. And in 2004, we expanded that to all of the health departments and asked that they give that in their HIV STD clinics. And one of the communicable disease nurses says, if you let us do that, we will break the bank. We will have to get, you know, we'll be given so much hepatitis B vaccine. Well, the uptake was slow. And one of the reasons was that in the health departments, they really didn't want to give vaccine in those clinics. There was a lot of referral to immunization clinics. And of course, even if it's that day and down the hall, a lot of folks aren't going to be vaccinated. So it took a while, but by 2007, we had a notable increase in the vaccine that we were able to get out there and get into the arms of folks. This slide just shows risk factors and the percentages that we saw in those pilot counties. Males was having sex with males was received the first dose. There were 71% of those, and then multiple sex partners, 13. Those that were infected with hepatitis C virus, 9%, and intravenous drug users, 7. So in those four sites, there was just a lot of enhanced education with the staff there and a lot of intensive tracking and follow-up that the nurse dedicated to that in two of those four sites, I should say. So we targeted those who are HIV positive, hepatitis C positive, intravenous drug users, MSMs, MSPs, and those with a history of incarceration. And we didn't, you know, we wanted to expand away from HIV STD clinics, and so we were in drug treatment centers, methadone clinics, prisons, jails, homeless shelters, public health clinics, FQHCs, RHCs, and family planning clinics we added last year, which predominantly are located in our local health departments. As you can imagine, the drug treatment centers and the shelters, that was the most challenging for us. In some places, you know, didn't really have the proper storage and handling, didn't have people that could administer the vaccine, and were not able to participate. And studies do show that there's a higher percentage of those, higher percentage of uptake if you're seen in an HIV STD clinic, and we certainly saw that to be the case. I mean, the infrastructure is just there for a lot of hepatitis services, and this project included hepatitis C testing and referral, so it was a pretty comprehensive project. This really just shows the amount of hepatitis B vaccine that increased over time. You know, we want to vaccinate, you know, as many folks as we can, but the funding is not there. And you know, you just have to keep saying, keep that message out there. We continue to do more without having more money. And I'm increasingly concerned that shifting those resources around, you know, will really impact our childhood rates. So in the future, you know, we want to increase the acceptance rate among the high-risk folks and continue to offer this hepatitis C counseling. I think that beginning with the traditional public health clinic was the way to go, and to focus on our HIV STD clinics. The staff are just prepared, much better prepared. We did have 136 participating sites that served collectively 36,000 patients annually. But we like to look at the impact of disease. And so just to take a look here, in 2002, I showed the slide earlier, from 97 to 2002, the cases of hepatitis B. And this slide shows from 2002 to 2008. I mean, hepatitis A, I'm sorry. And so we would like to think that our efforts had an impact there. We certainly like seeing those vaccine graphs. And again, this is showing the hepatitis A reported cases by gender up till 2002. It's a repeat slide, but I wanted to put it in here again because since 2002, you can see that those reported cases, even by gender, has flattened considerably. So and hepatitis B acute reported cases in North Carolina have also declined during those years. And again, looking at hepatitis B now by gender, there's a significant difference there. We're talking about expanding to mental health facilities now. I mean, I think everybody has been really excited about this project, and we're just continuing to look at non-traditional sites and how we can better serve the folks. So I always like to, Bill Atkinson, I don't think is here this week, and he's missed, but he one of my favorite quotes of his is disease is bad and vaccine is good. And I think that I'll just conclude for now and save questions for later. Thank you very much.